Blog Talk Radio.
All right. My brothers and sisters, once again, this is your friend, Pastor Omar Zachary, and I'm here. We are Tuesday night Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church. As always, we want to thank God for this opportunity to be on Chaos Blog Talk Radio with our engineer, Elder Derek Oliver. And tonight, we are here again with our normal crew of leaders, very excellent Bible students, and very knowledgeable and gifted men and women of God. We want to thank all of you, our listening audience, that has been tuning in to us. This is our second night. Last night we was on with Elder Oliver with a great panel discussing the recent tragedy of Ahmaud Arbery that, you know, that just kind of came to the forefront over the last few days or so. So we had a great time on here last night with the officers and Elder Oliver. And we're here tonight. As we told you on last night, we got a busy week. We have our Bible study tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll be back on radio live with our first Wednesday night prayer. We'll be Facebook Live and live on the radio. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And also Friday night, as we've been doing, we'll be back for an evangelistical service Friday night at 7 o'clock. With Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries. And then Sunday, we'll be back again with Praise Tabernacle Church at 11 o'clock. But tonight, we're going to turn it over. I'm going to say a brief prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV. He's not new to y'all. Y'all have heard him, very knowledgeable. And we also have our and Elder Taylor is our he's over our Elders Council. He's the president of our Elders Council. We also have on the line Evangelist Dove Stanton, great, powerful woman of God. And I don't know if her husband is on tonight, Deacon Stanton. And we also have our Sunday School president, Elder Victor Bluett. Amen. And we know that y'all have been blessed. I've been blessed by hearing them go forth over the radio over this past month, month and a half or so. Just what we get on a weekly basis here at Praise Tabernacle Church. Well, without further ado, we're going to turn it over to Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV. We're going to say a quick prayer, and the next voice you hear will be Elder Taylor. Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank you again for another day. We're thanking you for life, health, and strength. As we enter into this Bible study, we pray that you would touch the man of God's mind. Touch his heart. Give him what to say unto us, your people. We thank you for the panel of leaders that we have, and we pray that you will continue to strengthen us. And God, every listener on tonight, we pray that in some way, somehow, that they are encouraged and lifted and feel the need to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that great introduction, and I appreciate the opportunity again to come before God's people and to my brother and sister that's on the panel with me tonight, along with Pastor Elder Bluett and Evangelist Dale Stanton and Elder Derek Oliver for all your support and work that you do with us. And I just want to say thank the Lord for another day, another opportunity to come before his people. Everybody out there that's listening in, up on the Chaos Blog Talk Radio and just listening to us tonight, thank you for tuning in for another Praise Tabernacle night of Bible study. And tonight, we want to talk a little bit, very, very familiar scripture about, we've all heard of the three Hebrew boys and their situation as they were being held captive in prison, not in prison, but held captive by the Babylonians. And we want to talk about them tonight. We want to do a little different view on what they meant and what they went through and kind of why they went through it and what they stood for and kind of like what we need to be today in the world that we live in today, you know. And we want to talk about, you know, when the fire has no power. Amen. So let's get right to it. We're going to go over to Daniel, the third chapter. And give everybody a couple of seconds to get there. Daniel 3. And as everybody travels to Daniel, third chapter, I want to give a little backdrop on the book of Daniel and his friends, his three friends that again, as I said before, they were, Babylon had captured the children of Israel, and I believe Babylon had them in captivity for about 70 years. And during this time, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were young men. I don't quite know what their age was, but they were young men. And anybody can chime in if they knew around what age they were. And they were, when they were captured, these four young men found favor with the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And they were put into the best schools in Babylon, so that they could serve the king and serve the court, the king's court. As they, for about 3 years, they went through extensive training and schooling to learn to try to take their identity away from the names which changed during this time, where the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some of y'all probably think that those were their original names. Where the names had been changed. The enemy had took their names away from them and tried to give them a new identity. They tried to take away their culture, what they believed. They were trying to train these young men into being what they wanted them to be. And you will see how significant that is as we get further along into the lesson. And then, and because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even Daniel, their names was changed. Daniel's name was changed to Belshazzar, and Shadrach's original name in Hebrew was Hananiah, and Mishael was Meshach, and Azariah was Abednego. So those were those original names before they were changed over to the Gentile names as Meshach, you know, Shadrach, and Abednego. All right, so just a little knowledge, just a little nugget there as we travel through the lesson. Amen? And again, as always, Pastor Elder Blue and Van Stanton, just chime in at any time you'd like to add something to the lesson as we move along.
Gotcha.
So Daniel 3. I hope everybody is there. And we want to start off, I want to start off with the 28th verse. Amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god." Again, this is where we're going to get our subject from tonight, from this verse 28, and it says, "When the fire has no power." When the fire has no power. Amen. This is where the king changed in his thoughts towards their God. Amen. All right, so now that's where we're going to get our title from tonight. So now let's go over to verse 12. Let's go over to verse 12.
No.
And we're going to roll right through this. These scriptures are, you don't have to drill real deep into them. You don't really have to, they kind of speak for themselves when you read through them. Amen. So, verse 12, there are a certain Jews who has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, here is, in this scripture here, somebody is telling on the heat on these boys. And from studying, it shows that there were other group of men called the Chaldeans that were also kind of like soothsayers and magicians in the king's court as well. They kind of helped the king with his dreams. Amen. So they kind of they were kind of telling on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like, wait a minute, you guys, these guys could see. Let's go back a little bit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even Daniel, they found favor with the king. They were high favored of King Nebuchadnezzar, and even Darius after, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. They found a lot of favor with him. Like I said before, in verse 1, it shows that they were put in schools. They were taught well. They come from, and then they came from good Judean families during his time. So the king found favor with the king. And in verse 1, if you go into verse 1, it shows where he was trying to feed them the best steaks and the best wine and to build them up, to nurture them. And again, he was trying to change their identity or who they were taught to be as young boys. And they decided, no, we don't. Daniel kind of spoke up for him and his friends and kind of said, no, we don't want the best. We don't want the best meat. We don't want the wine. Let us eat something different and show you that we can be who the king thinks we can be. We don't want to cower down to what he wants us to be. So we still love our God. We still love Jesus. We still want to be who we know to be. Amen? So verse 13 says, you never can let us. That means prayer. I hear music. Okay.
Then
verse 13 reads, this is where Daniel's friends trust God. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And you got to remember, now the king had put a lot of invested time and effort and energy into these boys to teach them and to groom them. So he probably thought, maybe I done changed their identity. I've taken their name away from them. I've given them the best of everything. I've tried to change the identities of these young men. How dare they not stand up to what this golden image that I've erected? You know, they've been in my court. All the other ones have done what I've told them to do. You know, I'm kind of mad that these three have not conformed to the ways of this world. Amen. And Daniel never conformed either. But they found favor with this king, and so they didn't get caught up in a lot of stuff that was going on in Babylon at the time. So he was kind of upset that they didn't fall in line as to what everybody else was doing. In verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto him, is it true? He's asking, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now he's asking them, do you guys really, is it true what you're doing? Is it true that you won't bow down to my God? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even Daniel, if you want to throw him in there, he's kind of the leader of the four of us. They were very faithful men. They were very prayerful men. They were men of great courage. They was consistent in their faith, and they would not compromise, no matter their position that they was in at the time. So they was part of the king's court, and they still would not compromise. Can we do that today? Can we say that today? In a time such as this, whatever your position is in life, will you compromise? Whatever you're doing, whoever you are, will you be consistent? See, these are the five, some of the statutes and things that as men and women of God that we have to live by. We have to be faithful as they were. We have to be consistent in our belief as they were. We have to be prayerful in our daily walk as there was in the midst of the fire. We have to be consistent in our walk with the Lord. And we cannot compromise in anything that we do. We have to stay consistent in everything that we do and not deny the Lord. And that's what I like about this story. It's a very familiar story. Everybody knows the story. But one thing that I like in this lesson tonight is that they did not compromise their position. They did not compromise in what they believed in spite of what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do, in spite of them being part of the king's court, in spite of them having privilege during this Babylon captivity. You can give them the best of everything, and they would not compromise who they are and their belief. They would not compromise in their walk with the Lord. They would not deny God in spite of what you gave them, earthly good. And can we say that today? Will we deny God in spite of what's coming against us? Even in the world today right now with the coronavirus, the way the world is going crazy, the way the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, still be faithful? Can we still be prayerful? Can we still be consistent? Can we not compromise our beliefs in lieu of getting what the world says they can give us in a time such as this? And that's what I get out of this lesson tonight, is that that these young men they didn't give up what they believed because they was in captivity. They didn't give up what they believed because they were shown high favor from the king. Anybody like to add anything? Okay.
Go ahead, Pat.
I can't hear you, Pastor.
You can't hear me?
Y'all still can't hear me? I can hear you now.
You can hear me now? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we have people bowing to the world even now, and there is no threat on their life.
Right.
You know, it's, no one is at their door, you know, threatening them. No one is bringing harm to their family. But it's so easy to bow to the ways of the world. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar had set up an image, and at the sound of the music, he wanted everybody to bow, or in other words, you know, bowing is a sort of type of dance, if you will. And how many of us are dancing to the world, dancing to the world system? You know, the world system says something as simple as it's okay for two men to be married. And many in the church have bowed or danced to that, saying, yes, it is okay. We agree. We know what the Bible says. We know what God says. But, okay, if the government says it's okay, then I'm a bow to it. I'm a dance. And when you dance, that means you agree. You agree. So we have a lot of churches that once took a stand on marriage being between one man and one woman, to now marrying the same sex. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they're marrying two men, marrying two women, and that's just another sign of us bowing or dancing to the worldly music, to the worldly idols, to saying, hey, okay, the government says if you do this, then you can have, you can get benefits from us.
Right.
You know, if you do that, you can get grants. You can get, you know, funding. But you got to dance. You got to do what we tell you to do. And that's one reason. I don't apologize. That's one reason why we don't have a 501, you know, C3 for us, the church. Because I can't bow just for some money to the worldly system. You're not going to dictate to me what I can and can't preach or who I can and can't marry based on the scriptures in order for you to give me some money. So, you know, man, this is great, great teaching on tonight. I'm enjoying myself.
And that's kind of like what the Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He wanted them to bow to his system. He wanted them to acknowledge the image that he had set up, his government.
Right.
Because, you know, and see, they've been in captivity for, you know, up to 70-something years. I don't know at what point how far along they were in the captivity, up until this point, but you have to imagine they've been there for a while. So they know the government. They've learned the Babylonian way. But they wouldn't conform to it. They would not. They would not. Even though they had favor with the king, they would not fall to it. They would not deny their God, our Lord God. They would not. They would not deny him when they stood firm when the opportunity presented itself before all the people. You know, because.
Mm-hmm.
Probably up until this point, they probably hadn't had to stand firm on what they believe in front of a whole bunch of people like they had to at this point. You know, so and we're going to take a break right here. I've been told we take a break. We're going to take a break right here, and when we come back, we're going to have our own Evangelist Doug Sam come forth, and then we get right back into the list.
Joining us for a Praise Tabernacle Church Bible study this Tuesday night, and what a mighty word is going forward. At this time, we would like to give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the church and to the ministry by giving. There are two ways that you can give on tonight. The first way is by Cash App. Our Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is money sign, P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by credit, debit, or PayPal. And our office telephone number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056, and you can give $1, $10, $100, or $1,000, whatever is laid upon your heart. The fact that you give not grudgingly or under compulsion, but give from a cheerful heart. We're going to turn it back over to our own Elder Taylor with the word.
Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Stanton. All right. Well, we're going to go right into verse 15. And it's a good segue as to what Pastor was saying, how people are. And so this leads right up into that. Verse 15. Now, for those of you that just joining us, we're in Daniel 3. Right now, we're at chapter 3, verse 15. All right? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver out of my hand? So now he's giving them another opportunity. You know, he's setting it up for them. The music is playing. When you hear the music, when you hear all these different instruments start to play, now is the time for you to fall down. He's probably giving them another chance because he liked these guys. He's watched them grow up. They've been in his court. He took them to the best schools, tried to feed them the best food. He liked them. He wanted them to be on his team, but they won't. They will not conform no matter how well they're being treated, no matter how well they've been taken care of. They will not deny our God. And how many of us can say that today? Regardless of how the government treats us, how well they say they love us, will it ever get to a point in our lives where we have to choose between serving our God and conforming to the world? That should have been the title right there. But the title tonight is When the Fire Has No Power. Verse 16 reads, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. In which that is translated in my Bible, we have no need to answer thee in this manner. We have no need to answer you. That's what they tell us. See, now they're kind of bold. Now, you know, they're kind of talking back to the king and letting him know, hey, man, we don't really need to answer you. We really don't have no need to answer you in this manner, all right? Because we know the God that we serve. We know that he is the king of all kings. We know that he is the Lord of all lords. So no matter what you say or do, play all the instruments you want, raise all the images you want, treat us as well as you want, but we still would not deny our God. And see, that's how the enemy tried to do us today, Satan. People that's listening all over the radio, that's how the enemy tried to do it. Set us up, make us feel good about ourselves, you know, and then when we conform to him, he snatched it away from us, and then we lost forever. But these young men, they wouldn't bow down to that. They would not fall for that. They've seen the ins and outs in the works of the king's court from a young age. They know sometimes it may be better to be on the inside so you can see what's going on and not conform to those ways, but so you can have a better understanding how the enemy is working. Because they was close to the enemy. See, Nebuchadnezzar figured they his friend. Now, they honored the king for him being the king, and they respected his position, but they was not going to follow him. They were not going to commit to the things that he was trying to get them to identify with. You know, you remember back in chapter 1, he took their name, changed their name, all four of their names, Daniel and the three Hebrew, he changed their name, changed their diet, changed their food. When they were, he did all this to try to take their identity for them. He wanted to give them the best, and he was giving them the best. But he wanted to see, for some reason, there was something about these four that he wanted to. Now, it could have been other ones, but this is the only ones that I know that's written about. So it was just something about these guys that he wanted them. So you can imagine the king was upset when they wouldn't, in front of all these people. You had all these people out here trying to you know, getting ready to worship or worship this golden image, then you got these three, you know, standing the king up that don't want to do it, you know, and they're doing it in front of everybody, you know. So let's go into verse 17. And the boy says, yes, go ahead.
Before you hit verse 17, I was looking, this is so good. Thank you, sir, for bringing this word on tonight. This is an awesome word. I see a lot of jealousy in this, too, especially around that 12, because the Chaldeans, you know, they start accusing the Jews, accusing them. They went before the king, and they was like, yeah, you know, you got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, you want to give them the best. You want to give them all the good. So there was some jealousy right there. So they came to him and said, but guess what? They not doing what you have decreed. So it reminds me like somebody at work, you doing your job with the spirit of excellence. You know, you going in, you need to be at work. You stay a little bit late. You don't take lunch too long. And your coworkers get a little jealous because you're doing a good job. And your supervisor may say, oh, you know, I really appreciate the job that you're doing. But the coworkers are coming up to them and saying, but are they doing this? Are they doing that? And that's how they you know, Chaldeans was like, but wait a minute, King. Yeah, I know you want to get the best and everything, but they're not bowing down when they're supposed to. Not following that decree.
Yes.
There's people watching. I was going to say, you got to be careful. There's people watching you. They're watching to see what you do. You know, they're watching to see, you know, if you're against homosexuality, but do you still love me?
They
want to say that you're this, but yet you really do have a love for them. They just don't understand that. You know, we got a love for them. We got a love that their soul would not be lost. But it goes the same with the fornicator, that their soul won't be lost. You know, it goes the same for the liar. You know, that their soul won't be lost. So, you know, we just got to be careful. I love this one tonight, and thank you for bringing this word, sir. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. Because in verse 8 of the chapter 3, that's where it starts with them going to the king, that's when they begin to accuse the Jews. The three boys, and they spake to the king and Nebuchadnezzar and said, "O king, live forever! You great king, live forever!" But it's something about these three; they ain't doing what everybody else is doing.
That's right.
But they still found favor with the king.
Right.
Some kind of way they still found favor with the king up until this point. So you can't show the king up in front of everybody and just think, it's gonna be okay, you know. So this is why he's so upset, because, you know, I done put a lot into you guys, you know. Now you're showing me up in front of all the people. So as the king, I just can't stand by and let this happen. As much as I care about you guys and as much as I put into you, I got to make you an example. Are you willing to be made an example for your love of who God is in your life? Will you be a martyr? Will you be a martyr for your confession of who Jesus Christ is in your life? Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God is the head of your life. You confessing that God rose Jesus on the third day, and you believe in that, and you confess that, and you walk that, and you talk that. You pray about that. You have faith in that. You're consistent with that. You will not compromise your walk. God will take care of you. He will protect you in a time such as this, in a time where you need to be protected. As long as you don't deny him, before the world. As long, and that's what these boys was doing. They were standing firm. They were standing flat-footed. They were standing. They were not backing down. King, we know your abilities. We know what you can do. We know how you afflicted other countries since we've been in captivity here. But we are standing firm. We're standing flat-footed as who we are as Jewish men, as men of God that love our God, not your God. He continued to try to press his God upon them. Amen. So let's go into Elder Blue. You got anything you'd like to add?
Just you're doing a great job. Everybody's doing a great job. But this is great, a great passage for young people. From the first chapter to the sixth chapter, I believe. Then it goes into Daniel's dreams or whatnot. And they were children. They came in at about 11 to 13 years old. And this here is in their second year of the captivity of the 70. When Daniel interpreted the dream of the king, he said, Daniel on top. But Daniel said, hold on, I got three partners now. Let's put them over some things too. And when the king had done that, set Daniel in place and his three friends in place, that's when the jealousy came in. They came in believing in God. And it's just like our church home. You will follow the word of God. If the man of that house will follow the word of God, his wife follows, his kids follow, his kids come up in the church, in God, in Jesus, when they go off or when they get on their own, see? And this is what these three Hebrew boys did. They brought with them what they had learned from their parents about who God will stand. And now they're trying – now, and see, teenagers are very important right about now at this time of the influences of the world, of the gadgets of the world, the social media of the world, and the heavy influence of freedom. Have around them how they think things should go. But if you have a child that's standing on the word of God, they cannot be deterred. And they said, we won't be careful when we tell you something. In other words, we're going to tell you how it is. We're not going to bite our words. We're not going to miss no words. We're not going to please your ears and be comforted to us. No, we're going to tell you just how it is. We're not careful to tell you what we stand on. But you're doing a great job. Go ahead, Elder. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Elder Blue. I appreciate that input. All right, verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And that's what they say in verse 17 and 18. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. He's able to. But if He don't, we're still not going to serve your God. We know He's able to do it. And if it's His will, He will do it. But if He don't, then that's not going to make us serve your God. See, they set this king up also as well. They set Nebuchadnezzar up to, as we're going to see later on, because he's starting to see the faith that they have in their God. And I don't know if he's seen faith like this before, but they're denying him because of their faith and what they believe. And so they kind of set him up for what's going to happen later on in this chapter. All right? Let's go to verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, mad, pissed off, as Elder Blue had liked to say, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1,000 times more than it wants to be heated, than it usually is heated. Let's heat it up some more. Let's heat it up 7 times more. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fire furnace. Now, they just didn't throw them in there. all, you know, willy-nilly. They bound him up, head to toe. Now, it wasn't like they could get out once he threw him in there. So, you know, and that's how the world do us, you know.
Right.
They want to bind us up. And I guess maybe, see, binding him up and doing the things that he was doing as a prelude to throwing them into the furnace, maybe he could have. I don't know. Maybe he could have been like, okay, if I do them like this before I just throw them in there, maybe they change their mind. You know,
okay.
Because of fear. Maybe if I do certain things to them before I throw them into the fire, you know, they change their mind. I can get them to conform to the ways of my world. If I do certain things to them, you know how what things that happen to us in the world today, and some things can happen to us, and we give in, or when we fall into, you know, the world issues, the world things. Because, you know, I know I can't hear everybody out there in radio land, but, you know, if you just think about how many of men and women of God, I mean true men and true women, children of God, that is really, really concerned about what's going on in the world today.
Right.
I'm not.
Right.
Because I know, just like they knew, just like the three Hebrew boys knew, that I know whose I am and I know who I belong to. So
right.
I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if the greater one is, now I'm gonna be smart about things. I'm not just gonna go out and just be stupid, but I know that I'm covered by the blood. I know that the blood of Jesus covers me, covers my household, covers my family, my wife, my children, my church family, people that I know that love the Lord is Jesus Christ. And so I'm not concerned about, I'm not worried about the world, because I know who Jesus Christ is to me.
Yes, sir.
And I know how to stand on his word. I know how to be faithful. I know how to be prayerful. I know how to be consistent. I know how to be constant. I know how to be and not compromise to what I see in the world. All right, we're going to take, our last break, and then we're going to come right back with Evangelist Doug Stanley, and then we're going to finish up our Bible study for tonight.
The name of this song is just simply Total Praise.
Once again, we would like to thank you for joining us on our Tuesday night Bible study with Elder Taylor. We would like to once again give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the ministry. There are two ways that you can give. The first way is by Cash App, that is $PTC877. Once again, P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can call and give by debit, credit, or PayPal, and our offices are available and open to you. The telephone number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. 1-800-273-0056. No donation is too small. You can give $1, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever God lays upon your heart to be a blessing to the ministry. We just ask that you don't give under grudgingly or under compulsion, but give from a cheerful heart. And Elder Taylor, we're going to turn it back over to you to end out our Bible study. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Thank you, Reverend. Pastor Elder Blewett, you guys have anything you want to add as we get closer to closing this out?
Yeah, let me, you know, Elder Blewett takes longer to talk than I do.
It's gonna be very quick.
Just give me 15 seconds before Elder Blewett take up all the time. That verse 18 really sticks out to me. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I just want to encourage all the saints to have a but if not. And what I mean by but if not, if he don't give you that new house, if you don't get that new car, but if you don't get that new house, if you don't get that job, if you don't get healed, if you don't get a raise, if your loved one don't come back home, all I'm saying is we must mature to the point where we have a but if not in our spirit. We need a but if not in our bellies, where if he don't do what we ask him to, we are careful to still serve the God of the Bible. So I just want to encourage all believers, develop and mature to the point where you can stand flat-footed in the face of adversity. I preached a message the other night, and I'm through, when I said, it is well. In spite of death being in the young lady's home, she spoke that it is well. And I just want to encourage every believer to mature, to develop the spirit of, but if not, we're going to still magnify our God. That's it.
Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. Verse 18 is good. And also on that verse 21, it's also a but if not. But it's also what we don't have, God has already prepared for us. Look what they did to these kids in verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, which is going to take you into verse 22. But they're prepared for the immediate heat being taken care of by God. And they don't even know they're taking care of these kids this way, or covering them from the immediate heat that Nebuchadnezzar wanted the fiery furnace, you know, turned up. He wanted hotter seven times than it would normally be. So God prepared them by the hand of their enemy to prepare their bodies to go through the mouth of the flame to get to the bottom. So Elder Taylor, 21 sets up 22 for you, sir. Go ahead. It's yours.
Well, sir, you done spoke on it. You done taught that one. I can go over to 23.
Well, you want me to go? I'm 22 for you.
You said it right there. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. In 22, where he says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, in a furnace exceedingly hot flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So as you said, they was clothed from head to toe, and you know, when they was going in, they didn't feel it, but the men that were trying to put them in, the enemy felt it, and it slew them up. All right, so yeah, that's a good point, Elder Blue. You taught that one. And 23, it reads, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And it don't say
yes,
that they were hollering and screaming. It don't say that they was wailing and moving all around. It said that they fell down. That they fell down. Could they have been praying? Could it be that they fell down in the midst of the fire? Because the fire had no power. There was no power in the fire against them. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Yeah. There's no power in the fire, you know, and they fell down. That's what it says. Is that right? It says they fell down.
Right, right.
In the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And then verse 24 says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Yeah, it was three of them. We threw three of them in there. So he answered and said, in verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men. Not only do I see four men, but I see four men that's loose.
Right.
Uh-huh.
In the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Watch it, preacher.
How does Nebuchadnezzar know what the Son of God looks like? How does he know? He said, it looks like the Son of God.
Yes, he did.
He don't worship our God. So he's an idolater. So how does he know? I never understood. How did he know that? Did somebody enlighten me? Because I don't know how he knew that. How did he know what the Son of God looks like? Because I know he wasn't walking around in it with a sign on him saying, I am the Son of God. But Nebuchadnezzar, I knew. He said, not only do I see three, I see four men loose in there.
Right.
They're no longer bound in the midst of the fire. They're free in the midst of the fire. They're walking around in the midst of the fire. How is this happening? Because Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that I see the fourth one looks like the Son of God.
Right.
Talk right.
And that's the way we got to be, saints, believers, whoever listening throughout the radio land tonight. That's the way you have to be. That's the way I have to be. When we in the midst of the fire, we still got to be free. Because the Son of God is still with us. Whatever we go through in our life, we still got to be free because the Son of God is still with us. No matter what things come against us, we can't get bound up. And if you get bound up, you got to break loose and get free because of who Jesus Christ is in your life. And these three Hebrew boys in the midst of the fire, they didn't seem real concerned. They didn't seem because they truly believed that God, our God, can do this. And if he don't do it, it is well.
Yes.
If he does it, it is well. If he don't do it, it is well. But we're not going to conform to the world system. We're not going to conform to the issues that come against us. We're not going to go back to our old ways because of the issues that come up against us. We're not going to go back to whoremongering. We're not going to go back to drinking. We're not going to go back to smoking. We're not going to go back to lying because I got issues going on in my life. I'm no longer going to be bound and entangled in the worldly things because I have a few issues that come against me in my life. I'm going to continue to humble myself and fall before the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to continue to walk with me in the fire. So that the fire would have no power. So that the fire would not consume me. Amen. So that I With Jesus by my side, I'm free. And that's what they were.
Amen. Elder, I see something, you just said it, when you said that they were thrown in the fire, bound, and they fell down.
Uh-huh.
It just reminded me that when the enemy brings the heat, we need to fall down and worship God. We need to fall down on our knees or even on our face and submit and surrender to God. Because if you notice, when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, they were no longer bound. So this just reminds us, we may fall down bound, but we're going to get up loosed. We may fall down, but we're going to get up free. We may fall down with confusion, but we're going to get up with a peace mind. I just saw that. We're going to fall down one way, but when we get up, we're going to be free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to even say nothing else. But since y'all provoking me before Elder Bluette take over, I preached a message. y'all probably remember I preached this message a few months ago from this same book, the same chapter, and the title of the message was, "I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through." Y'all remember that message?
Yes.
Yep.
That's what happened. These three young boys didn't look like, and I just want to speak that to the radio land. Folks won't understand some of your testimonies. They wouldn't even believe that you went through what you went through. But the truth of the matter is, you don't look like what you've been through. All right, that's it. That's it for me.
The Bluette.
Yeah, just one more small comment. This was actually set up by God for the 70 years of bondage or the 70 years of captivity. God had already had the Babylonian Empire in place to do these things. And he knew that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be the king, Cyrus and Darius. And he used Cyrus and Darius to release them back to their own home. But God had already knew about this. He was already working on the king. As you see, if you go into the next chapter, how he was humbled by God. And he starts speaking of God like nobody else could. And he truly knew who God was. He's learning now, or he may be getting insight from God now on because sometimes we don't know what we're going through. We don't know the strength we have. We don't know if God's working on our behalf or not. But if we trust in God, he will show up when he needs to show up. And the word of God will show up even in the enemy's mouth. See, even in the enemy's mouth, that the word of God will show up if God plans it that way. And he often does. But this right here is so mystery that he called him like the son of God, because God is already working on this king, because he got a word for this king in the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And in verse 27, going into verse 28, you said he'll put the word of God to be in the enemy's mouth. Well, verse 27, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies of fire had no power. There it is right there. Nor was an hair of their head seen. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Fire had no power against them.
No.
In verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake. There it is, Elder Bluette. The word of God is in the enemy's mouth. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed," key word right
the
there,
king's,
"and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god, little g god, except their own God. And that's where I was saying, that's what I was saying earlier, is that they were setting Nebuchadnezzar up earlier in the chapter, when they were saying that no matter what you do, what you say, because they were showing him their faith in their God. Because if God pulled them out of this, he was going to have to do and say what he just said in verse 28. And they were setting him up by their faith, by their consistent faith. They wouldn't bow down. And that's what he said in verse 28. That's what he said. He said, and that they, the last part of verse 28, that they may not serve nor worship any God except their own God. They would not bow down. They would not take less than. They would not do what I needed or want them to do. And this is what their God has done. We're going to read verse 29 and 30 to close out the chapter. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their home shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
Yeah.
The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. See how God can do it? Not only did he exalt their God, he promoted them to even a higher level in the enemy's camp in Babylon, in the province. Gave them a high. Can you imagine what the haters are thinking at this point?
Right.
How can we beat this? We can't do nothing with this. You know,
right.
And that's how God do. That's how God do. With the scripture that he presented a table in the presence of your enemy, he came through for the three Hebrew boys. He made an example of who he is to them, and who he is to what Nebuchadnezzar saw him to be. The most part, because Nebuchadnezzar had never seen anything like this before. He
right.
couldn't believe it. So he made a decree. If anybody about their God, from now on, I don't care what language you from, what nation you from, when you cut into pieces, your home's going to be a dunghill. Don't talk about their God, because I know what their God can do. I've seen what their God can do firsthand. I've witnessed it. Firsthand, can you think Nebuchadnezzar could have been a little scary of our God at that point? You know, so we have to trust God in every circumstance of our life, and know that
Amen.
He's going to be with us. He's going to walk with us. He's going to talk with us. If we just can be. Those five just have a few of those attributes that the Hebrew boys had. They had faith. They had prayer. They were consistent. And they did not compromise in their walk with the Lord. They didn't conform to the ways of the world of that time. And that's the way we have to be in the world at this time. Well, the scripture says that we are in this world, but we're not of this world.
Yeah.
And see, the Hebrew boys, they were in Babylon, but they was not of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
That was they was brought to that place. You know, so we have to continue in the time such as this, in the world that we live in, we have to lean and press into the Lord even more. So everybody that's listening, all over the radio land, ever how you listen, wherever you're listening from, learn to lean and press more into the Lord each and every day. because it's not going to get a whole lot better in the world as we know it. Things going to continue to change. But there's one thing that's not going to change, and that's who we serve. That's who we serve, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His word is going to remain the same forever. It's never going to change. We just got to believe in him and trust in him. Pray to him. Seek his face, not just his hand. Press into him.
Right.
Ask for direction. And to walk in the ways that he would want us to go. And that includes churches, ministries, pastors, leaders, lay members, every man, woman, and child that believes and confesses that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have to walk the walk and mean what you say and say what you mean in regards to who you serve, who you belong to, and just trust God. And like Pastor said earlier, if he don't do certain things, you still got to trust him.
Yeah.
If certain things don't come to pass, you still got to trust him. You still got to believe in him. Because if he didn't bring those boys out of that fire, they still believed in him. They still trusted him. Regardless. And that's what they told the king. Even if he don't, we still love him. We still going to serve him.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's where we got to be, thanks to God. Or whoever may be listening, wherever you are tonight, trust in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, simple prayer. Ask him to come to your life. Confess that you're a sinner. And Lord, I confess my sins. I ask that you come into my life. I ask that you be the Lord of my life. I confess in my heart. I believe that you are the Son of the Most High God. I believe that you died on the Friday and rose on the Sunday. I believe that you are God, the Son of the Most High God.
Yeah.
I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, that you are Jesus Christ. Just ask him to come into your life, renew you, revive you, deliver you, set you free. Whatever it is you could be struggling with in your life, he can do it. He can deliver you. He can set us all free. And when you get saved, that don't mean everything's going to be all right just instantly, poof, like a genie. You got to mature. You got to grow.
Right.
You got to study.
Right.
You know, when the battle really begins. That's when the battle really begins. But see, the thing now is you have an advocate that's on your side. That's going to give you power. It's going to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes.
Pastor,
amen.
I'm done. That's it. I'm through. If y'all would like to add anything, I'm all ears. But I'm through. Done with the word for the night.
Great. Great job, Doc. Great job. If we was at our headquarters, we would give you a hand right now. And we just thank God for that. Elder Bluett, did you have any final remarks, Elder Bluett?
Just it was a good message tonight, Elder Taylor. Just on my wrap up would be just stand hard and he'll stand firm on the word of God.
Amen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Evangelist Stanton, any last words to our listening audience?
Awesome word, Elder. The only thing that I would just encourage our listeners, if you're going through the fire right now, if you're bound in any kind of way, if you're bound in your mind and your thoughts and your heart, if you're bound to addictions, fall on your knees so that you can get loosed by God. Just surrender and submit yourself just where you at, right where you at. He loves you, and he knows exactly where you're at. And he's just waiting for you to submit and surrender yourself. So if you are in the fire or if you're bound in any way right now, just fall on your knees. Call out to God so that when you get up, you can be loosed.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Powerful. Powerful. Once again, my brothers and sisters, this has been another great Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church Incorporated. We want to thank God for the man, Elder Richard Taylor. We thank God for the man, Elder Victor Bluett, and for the woman of God, Evangelist Dove Stanton. That was our panel. That was our leadership on tonight. We just want to encourage you to keep going forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. We thank God once again for Elder Derek Oliver, our engineer with Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Before we leave on tonight, we just a few more announcements. As we stated in the beginning of the Bible study, we want you to meet us back here on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We will be live for our first Wednesday night intercessory prayer. We will be starting at 7 o'clock. Those of you that are listening by radio, if you have a way of reaching Elder Derek Oliver, let him know your name so we can be calling out your name on tomorrow night. Or you can reach us, watch us live and comment through Praise Tabernacle Church Facebook Live page. We will be live on our Facebook page tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. If you catch us on Facebook, just put your name up. We're going to be calling out every name that we see. We're going to be calling out the families, whatever the ailments, whatever it is that's going on. We will be calling those things out, and we will have prayer warriors that will be praying with us at that time. We don't even know when we're going to stop. We just know we're starting at 7 o'clock. Amen. If we're through by 7:30, then so be it. If we're through by 8:30 or 9, then so be it. Amen. But we're going to bombard heaven on your behalf, on behalf of your loved ones, on behalf of your children, on behalf of your families. Once again, my brothers and sisters, this has been your friend, your brother, Brother Omar Zachary, along with the leadership team of Praise Tabernacle Church. And we want to bid you Godspeed. As always, before we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you.